The gospel reading for today is taken from Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. It may be found in the New Testament on page 3 of your pew Bible. The baptism of Jesus. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented, and when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts and meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, for you are our strength and our salvation. Amen. Throughout this weekend, I'm sure that you have heard many stories of the life and ministry of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. Each story, each quote, each photograph only tells a very small piece of the immense legacy which Dr. King left. But that legacy means very little if we do not challenge ourselves to commit to doing the difficult work of justice that remains. And we need each other to do that work. One of the King stories that I love is the story of gospel singer Mahalia Jackson, who was present on the stage at the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C. on August 28, 1963. King had told of his dream at fundraisers and rallies in other cities in the preceding months. But he and some of his advisors felt that perhaps that message was too trite for such a large and important crowd that had gathered that day. But as can happen to preachers right in the middle of the sermon, King sensed that his pre-written message was a bit clunky. As he wavered for just a moment, Mahalia Jackson called out from her seat just 50 feet away, "Tell them about the dream, Martin. Tell them about the dream." Clarence Jones, one of King's advisors who was also on stage that day, recounted the moment as one of the world's greatest gospel singers shouting to one of the world's greatest Baptist preachers. In that moment, King pushed the written word aside. And Jones turned to the person seated next to him and said, "Those people out there, they don't know it, but he's going to take them to church." And King took that crowd and the world and history to church that day. All because his dream wasn't as trite as he would believe. It took a black woman to remind the politician that only the preacher could give the sermon. And the fact that we are still speaking about it means that the world needed to hear that message then and still does today. And that story highlights for me that none of us, even the greatest visionaries among us, can carry out our dreams and our visions without the support and encouragement of each other. We all have those points in our lives when we need someone either behind us or in front of us or maybe shouting at us, someone who is cheering us on and empowering us to share the best that we have to offer. Without that support, life-changing and world-transforming ideas and visions may never see the light of day. John the Baptist knew that he was called to be the one to prepare the way for the Messiah. His mother Elizabeth had known it even before his birth. And so on the banks of the Jordan River, his time had come. And for a moment, John wondered what his role really was in all of this. And he said, "I need to be baptized by you, Jesus. And do you come to me?" "Yes," says Jesus. "This is the way that it shall be done, so that the prophecy, the word of God, may be fulfilled." So John baptized Jesus with water, and God baptized him with the Holy Spirit, ushering in the earthly ministry of Christ. Remember that before that baptismal moment, according to the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus has not done anything. Yes, he was heralded by a heavenly host of angels and visited by awestruck shepherds and paid homage to by wise magi. His birth had produced rage in King Herod and the need for his family to flee to Egypt. The world had changed with his birth and was changing as it waited for the full coming of the Messiah. But before meeting John at the Jordan, Jesus had not spoken or performed a miracle or revealed who he is or who he had been, what he had been sent to do. Jesus simply showed up. And God shows up in a dramatic way, with the heavens opening and the Spirit descending like a dove and a loud voice heard, "This is my beloved Son. With him I am well pleased." God is pleased simply at the presence of God's beloved child. In that moment, John the Baptist and the crowds gathered on the banks of the Jordan and received a glimpse of who Jesus is. And then Jesus retreats to the wilderness for 40 days before his ministry begins. Lives were changed and the world transformed. John the Baptist, aided and inspired by God and the Holy Spirit, had become the encourager for a new vision. God blessed Jesus and called him beloved for who he is, not what he had done or what he would do. And if we are willing to humble ourselves and listen closely enough, God does the same for each of us. You are my beloved child. God embraces us as we are created. Now, I believe that God calls us to be and to do our best, to strive to do in a more excellent way, to be faithful servants who seek and know and love God and others more, while giving generously of our prayers, presents, gifts, service, and witness. But I also believe that God loves and accepts us and is pleased with us just as we are, with all of our faults and our failings. I don't know about you, but in that prayer of confession this morning, it starts off by saying, "God, we're incredibly stubborn," and I heard a little gasp, like, "Ooh, that's me." And God still loves us, even when we know of that stubbornness in ourselves. God meets us where we are, in places of struggle, in muddy waters, in dark corners. God calls us beloved, no matter what we have done or have not done. God names us and claims us as God's beloved child. And celebrating a baptism reminds us of that great promise. Today we celebrate that Marcus is a beloved child of God. Now today, before today, Marcus hasn't done much to prove himself as a faithful disciple of Jesus. He is simply a beautiful, growing, and happy 11-month-old. In Marcus's baptism, we see a tangible reminder of God's grace. Grace which has been with Marcus since before his birth. Grace made known in the blessing of water and the Spirit. Grace which will remain with Marcus, with his sisters, with all of us as children of God, as Marcus grows and claims that faith for his own. And while we celebrate Marcus, we are called to remember our own baptism so that we can be encouragers for Marcus, for Audrey, for Brooke, for Chris and Laura, for Skip and for Catherine, for new members, for members who have been here for decades. All of us need to be encouragers for each other as we seek to receive and grow in God's grace. We are called to claim the name Beloved for ourselves and for each other. As hard as it can be sometimes, we are called to see ourselves as beloved of God and to see the belovedness of God in each other. Brothers and sisters in Christ, may we, empowered by the water and spirit of baptism, encourage each other to see as God sees, to envision a world, a nation, a church where every child is known and seen as beloved. And may that vision inspire us to live and to love and serve with grace and passion so that hearts and lives are transformed in the name of Jesus. Amen.